here in form because they're in Canada and different places, and they listen to the recordings. And let's see. And then I'm going to open up my Kindle. And we are in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, which on my Kindle is page 223. Where is it in the paper book? 224. So if you have a paperback book, it's 224, which I guess all of you guys do. I'm the only one sitting here with a Kindle. And again, we're going to start at verses 17 to 20, and we'll finish probably chapter 5. We'll see what happens. So, all things written within the New Testament are symbolic. All things written there are for your benefit and for your learning. Give me your willingness that you may truly learn what I have come to teach. Now again, Chris, I don't know if you know, but I'm the scribe of this. Did you know that? So you know that like the number one mind these words were talking to was my own. So what was happening when this interpretation was, did you know that?
Well, I know that you were the author.
Yeah, not the author. I heard this as an internal dictation. So I was the student. I wrote it down, but not like an author writes from knowing or authority. I was the student. I was the listener. Okay. So what was happening, I had told them last week what was happening during this period of time was I was feeling guilty. I knew someone at the time, a spiritual teacher who, you know, tend to teach that if you really weren't holding anything back from God, you would turn over all of your money and your assets to Him. And I wasn't feeling to do that. But at the same time, I was feeling guilty for it. Like, you know, so I was really going through a lot of guilt when this was being written. And so the paragraph we just read then, this is really, you know, like the Holy Spirit or the inner voice speaking to me saying, now, come on, give me your willingness. You really need to learn that you're not guilty. And it's like I was telling you all earlier that when the belief in guilt is still in your mind, and belief in guilt means not only can you believe that you're guilty, but you can believe someone else is guilty, right? For anything. And most people have a definite belief in guilt. And when the belief in guilt is alive in you, and then you've done something that you judge is wrong, right? It's really difficult to let go of that feeling of guilt, like Dave mentioned. It's just not easy. And so that's why Holy Spirit is really saying to me, give me your willingness that you may truly learn what I have come to teach. And then look at the next sentence. You are not guilty. You can tell that, you know, I'm not just saying, oh, how cool. You know, I'm not guilty. You know, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to learn that lesson when you have really judged that you are guilty. So Holy Spirit continues, you are not guilty. You are a child of light. I have come to set you free that you may sing of your innocence before your brothers. For your innocence is their innocence also, and in your innocence they will find theirs. Now, one thing that Spirit was pointing to here, which I've now learned, is that when you realize that the belief in guilt is just a belief, that it's not true, one thing that's really nice about it is not only do you not judge yourself as guilty anymore, but you actually don't judge other people as guilty either. You can still see when people are making decisions that maybe aren't the best decisions they could make, but you don't judge them as guilty. And when you don't judge people as guilty, you're different around them. You know, they don't get that judgmental look around you. And what happens is they start to feel more accepted by you. And as people start to feel more accepted by you, what seems to happen is you bring out their best. So it's really a gift not only to you to let go of the belief in guilt, but it's a gift to everybody else that you come into contact with. And that's what Spirit's pointing out here, that that's one of the advantages to letting go of the belief in guilt, because your innocence is their innocence also, and in your innocence, your brothers will find theirs. When your brothers look for you within the prison they believe they have put you in, they will find that you are not there. They will look into your eyes and find no accusation or judgment against them. In you, they will find their innocence. Through you, they too shall be set free. So again, if they still believe in guilt, which most likely they do, because almost everybody on the planet does, right? Well, then they may say something, you're such a bitch today, right? You're such a bitch today, and walk away. And then afterwards, they may feel guilty because they called you a bitch, or you're a guy, an asshole, right? You're such an asshole today, right? And so they come back feeling all guilty, expecting you to be mad, and they see you're fine. Something in them is released. When they don't get the judgment from you, when the fact that they called you a name or they did whatever they did to you, and then you're still fine. Because when you see yourself as innocent, you see everyone as innocent. Someone can literally call you a bitch or an asshole, and instead of having the types of judgmental thoughts you had before, you might have a thought like, oh boy, something's really bothering him. But you're not triggered. And so they come back then, and they see that you're not upset, and something in them relaxes. Something in them is set free. And as this happens over and over and over again, like I said, what ends up happening is you naturally bring out the best in people. Because as I mentioned before we turn the recorder on, there's something about guilt, and I can't explain this, I only know it's true. There's something about guilt. If you feel guilty, you stay stuck there. But if you don't feel guilty, you're able to move on. And so when you don't believe in guilt, and even if somebody's being, quote, rude to you, but you're just seeing that, man, this person's got something going on, and you're not reacting with judgment, and this, it may even happen repeatedly before they really start to notice. But at some point, because they're not feeling guilty around you, because they're feeling this unconditional acceptance, the best in them begins to come out when they're around you. They may even find that you are their favorite person to be around, because they start noticing that they're their best when they're around you, right? Because somehow they're free around you. They're not guilty around you. So that's what this paragraph means when it says, when they look for you within the prison they believe they've put you in, and they find that you're not there, you know, because you have no accusation or judgment against them, and that sets both of you free. This is how you are to know your own innocence. Now, what we're about to read here is really important. Yeah, like the rest of the book wasn't. No, because letting go of the belief in guilt is an important step. It changes everything. And this is exactly how I did it, all right, what we're about to read. That's why I said this is really important. This is how you are to know your own innocence. For you must accept your innocence to accept your brothers, and you must accept their innocence to teach it to them. To know your own innocence, you must do this. You must trust me, meaning Spirit. And the reason I say that's really important is because that's exactly how I did it. Whenever I felt guilty, right, I still felt guilty, but I would remember in my mind that Spirit says I'm innocent, even though I did this, quote, horrible thing, you know, this quote, which, you know, now I laugh because none of those things were that horrible, but, you know, that's not how I saw it at the time, right? So even though I did this horrible thing, Spirit says I'm innocent. And I would feel guilty, but I would trust that innocence. It's kind of like trusting Spirit more than yourself is really what it is. I think I'm guilty, but Spirit says I'm innocent. And I choose to trust Spirit's evaluation of me more than my own evaluation of me. And I did this repeatedly, not just once. And I did it, I'm going to estimate 3 years, repeatedly for 3 years. I would choose to trust. And I would still feel guilty, but I would just choose to trust. And then what happened, I've told you guys this story before, but I'll tell you again. What happened one time was I was on a particular Yahoo group, and I knew that one of the things I was there to learn was not to be defensive. And I was making posts, and people were criticizing the posts, right? You could even say attacking the posts.
Flaming.
and I was not being defensive, and I was posting every day and not being defensive, just not responding, you know, like not at all. Just sitting back and looking at my feelings about it. But then one day somebody came to the Yahoo group and they were new. And they introduced themselves as new. And they made a post and these same people jumped on them. And even though I hadn't been defending myself, something in me wanted to defend the new person, right? Right? So I ended up writing an email. I don't remember what I said, but I somehow defended the new person. And then after I did that, this enormous amount of guilt came up. It's really kind of exaggerated considering all I did was send an email. But this enormous amount of guilt came up because I'd spent months not defending and now I had just defended and just, I can't even tell you how much guilt. It's really ridiculous. But I felt so guilty. In fact, here's how guilty I felt. I felt so guilty that I wanted to curl up and die and be erased from everyone's memory. I felt so guilty I didn't even want to be remembered. So just, you know, just enormous amount of guilt came up. And every cell in my body felt guilty. Every thought in my mind was telling me how guilty I was. But then there was just like this one little cell behind my ear here. One little cell that was reminding me to trust Spirit's evaluation of me over my own. To trust that Spirit says that I'm innocent. And so this lasted maybe somewhere between 2 and 4 hours, this little storm of guilt. But what I did was I focused on that one thought. Even though my mind was raging, telling me how guilty I was, my body was raging, telling me how guilty I was, I just kept trusting that thought. Again, I've been doing this for 3 years, but that's the last time I've ever felt that. That's the night that for some reason, the belief in guilt died. And the reason I know the belief in guilt died is, again, not only do I not see myself as guilty, but I don't see anyone else as guilty either. It doesn't mean I don't see mistakes, right? But I don't think you're guilty for your mistakes. I just think, you know, or me either. We're just not necessarily making the best choices all of the time. Where before I would have seen people as guilty. So why that time it finally disappeared, I don't know. But what I did was I consistently just kept trusting Spirit more than me. And then one day was the magic day, you know? So it's not brain surgery. It's not like you have to learn how to stand on your hands. You know, it's not anything that you have to do other than saying, I feel really guilty right now. I believe I'm guilty. I think I shouldn't have done that, but I choose to trust Spirit more. And Spirit says I'm not guilty no matter what. And just keeping with that choice until finally at some point, the miracle happens. And the belief in guilt just dies. I mean, that's exactly what happens. It's not anything you can exactly explain, but you notice the difference when it's gone. Yeah. Okay? So starting with sentence 4. Even before your innocence is an experience that you realize, you must trust me that it is so. For if you do not trust me, you will not let your guilt come out from its hiding place, so I may show you it is false. If your guilt does not come out from hiding, you will continue to believe it and you will remain in prison. Another little point that's probably important to make is there's something else I had learned to do. I had learned not to blame others. If that day when I made that defensive email, if I had walked away from that experience saying those guys are a bunch of assholes and, you know, they shouldn't have done this and this and this and this, all of that projection would have kept my own belief in my guilt stuff down where it never would have rose up. And even though the rising up of it was not a pleasant experience, it was the rising up of it and simultaneously choosing not to believe it, to believe that one little cell behind my ear that allowed the healing. So one thing that's really important is to remember that you are the only one that's responsible for your choices. If you blame anyone, if you blame the government, if you blame your boss, if you blame the rainy day for how you feel, you're never going to get to healing. You do have to take responsibility for how you feel, but taking responsibility for how you feel is different than believing you're guilty. You know that you feel guilty because you are the one that took an action and you are the one that judged yourself for that action. That's taking responsibility. I wrote the defensive email. I made that choice. And I judged myself for that choice. It's nobody else's fault. And even though I did both of those things, Spirit says I'm innocent. So you take full responsibility and trust Spirit more. And that's how the healing happens. The healing never happens by blaming other people. So that's what it means by your guilt comes out from hiding. So sentence 7. And so, I am asking you to trust me above the voice that says you are guilty. There are two voices you may listen to. I am asking that you listen to me. If you listen to me and step out into the light, I will speak for you. Through what I say and what I show you, you will come to see that you are innocent. So my first request is only this, and this is all that I ask you to do. Trust in me. Listen to my voice. Let me teach you that your innocence is your truth. Excuse me. And so that would be everybody else's innocence too, but for me, it's an introverted process. Now the difference, I think one of the primary differences between NTI and A Course in Miracles, and this isn't wholly true, you know, this is a generalization, A Course in Miracles is an extroverted process, which means A Course in Miracles, I'm learning not to judge Jacqueline. And when I see Jacqueline's innocent, then I'll see I'm innocent. With NTI, it's more introverted, I'm learning not to judge me. And when I see that I'm innocent, I'll see that Jacqueline's innocent. They're really the same. It's just some people have a tendency to be more extroverted and some people have a tendency to be more introverted. So A Course in Miracles is written more for the extroverted process. NTI is more for the introverted process. But ultimately, they're the same. All right, so we'll start NTI Acts chapter 6. It's real short. We might even finish 6 tonight. So verses 1 to 7. Trust is the answer to the questions upon your faith. As you move forward with me and do all that I ask, you will hear questions within your mind. The questions will come from your own temptation to judge for yourself, which is your desire to exercise your own will, which is ego. But this is no reason to deny your questions. For the temptation to deny your questions also comes from the ego, who tells you that you are guilty for questioning and that for your questions you will be judged. What happens just somewhere along the process of metaphysics, in the beginning, we have obviously a lot of questions because, you know, it's so different than the way we were all taught to think. So we obviously have a lot of questions. But what happens somewhere along the way is it dawns on us that all of the questions have to be coming from ego because Spirit doesn't have those questions. And when it dawns on us that all the questions have to be coming from ego, what can also happen is that then we can judge our questions and we can start to not ask the questions out of guilt. And this is saying, basically, it is true that all of your questions come from ego. However, you're allowed to ask them. That's all this is saying. Go ahead and ask your questions. And then what happens, it's at least in my experience, it's like three phases. First, you have all these questions. Then you come to realize the questions are ego and you're wondering, should I even have the questions? Spirit says during that phase, go ahead and ask them. But then what starts to happen, there actually comes a third phase where you actually naturally lose interest in the questions. And that's different than the judgment of them, right? You just start to realize there's not an answer for every question and you start to just not want all the metaphysical answers anymore. You just want to practice. You know, so when the natural stopping of the questions happens, that's cool. But no reason to force the stopping of the questions is what this is saying. Okay, so again, sentence 6. I tell you that you are not guilty for anything. I will hear your questions and answer them. Bring them to me in joy and trust, knowing they will be answered. The answer you are given will point you in the direction of all truth, which is love. Do not fear me. I am your answer. I will not judge you because you do not know. I will fill the gaps in your knowledge with all that you seek to know and have answered. So again, as long as the questions are arising, go ahead and ask them. When the day comes that you naturally lose interest, that's good too. Verses 8 to 15. Within your own mind, you will find conflict and attack upon yourself. This is because your mind is split. You have decided to let yourself be healed, but a part of your mind is not yet willing for that to happen. Do not let this concern you. Do not let yourself get caught up with the battle within the mind. For any battle is a distraction from the Holy Spirit and from healing. Let the battle continue within your mind and without you. Watch it peacefully, knowing that a battle that is not given all of your power and faith cannot last, for only that to which you give your power is true and meaningful to you. Okay, so what this paragraph is really teaching without those words, the words came to me later after NTI, but what this paragraph is really talking about is rest, accept, and trust. That's what this is talking about. It is saying that there are times when your mind is going to be, like I call it an ego attack. It's just going to be an ego out of control. And this happens to everybody at some point, especially if you're on the spiritual path. And it's saying when this happens, don't judge yourself because your mind's like just going crazy. Don't try and stop it. When it's that wound up, you actually can't even stop it. Don't try and stop it. Just kind of within yourself, kind of step out of the way and let the ego go on until it wears itself out. And for me, a great symbol is a symbol of like a storm in the sky. You know, if there's a storm passing through, the storm could be quite violent, but you know the storm is going to pass through. So even though it's happening in your head, I don't know how to describe this. I know how to do it. Maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. Even though it's happening in your head, there's a way to just kind of somehow step back and let it happen without being fully in the throes of it. You may still feel some kind of pain. You may still feel fear if it's a fear storm. You may still feel anger if it's an anger storm. But there's still a way to kind of step back. Huh?
Be the sky.
The
sky is uninjured by the storm.
Yeah, and you just get out of the way of it, but you don't try and stop it. And if you just kind of get out of the way out of it and let it run its course, it just runs its course and it runs out. And that's what rest, accept, and trust stands for. Rest is rest the mind. Now, rest the mind doesn't mean stop the thoughts. It means don't believe the thoughts. It's almost as if, you know, how you could be watching TV and there could be a commercial on and you're not at all interested in the commercial. So it runs and runs and runs, but you're not giving it your attention. It's the same kind of thing. You don't get all caught up in the thoughts. You rest the mind from believing the thoughts. Accept and trust. The accept means you accept what you're feeling. You accept what's happening now rather than resist it or try to push it away. You just accept it. But you can totally accept that it's temporary, that it's not going to last forever. This is how you're feeling now, right? And then trust. You trust the healing process. You trust that if you just stay out of the way of it, it will pass and it heals. The only time an ego attack doesn't heal is when you throw yourself into it. So, you know, if it's giving you a major fear story about money, for example, that's a very popular one. And you're getting all caught up in all of these beliefs about money and you're getting all worried, there's no healing that's going to happen. But if you can step back and still allow all of that to happen, but you are just, I'll tell you, when I used to go through a lot of this, I would literally go and lay on my bed for these ego attacks. I would just lay there and just let it happen But I physically was not doing anything. I wasn't searching the internet trying to find answers. I wasn't calling people. I wasn't, you know, because when you're doing all of that, when you're doing whatever your mind is suggesting, then you're in it, right? I would just lay on the bed until it passed and do nothing physically. And I really think it's all those hours I spent laying on the bed doing nothing while these ego storms went crazy in my mind that has led to the fact that I don't have those anymore. So if you throw yourself into it, it doesn't heal. But if you can step back out of it, you don't have to stop the storm. You just don't participate in it. And it passes and healing occurs. Does anybody have any questions about that? I don't know if it's really something you can describe.
It seems very amorphous to me.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate not following the story out.
Yes.
And that's as close as I can get to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to follow this scenario to its end.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I don't believe that at Holy Spirit. You know, wouldn't be given to me this way, you know. And so I get the trusting part.
Yeah.
But just the be the skies.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, way too fuzzy for me. So the best I can do is not follow the story. Not go where I would have gone with that before and let it snowball and get bigger.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You know, the last really big ego storm I remember is the one that I had when I moved here 3 years ago, and I bought this lovely house with this lovely, lovely, lovely lawn. And I really, you know, out in Pueblo West, they don't have that many lovely lawns. So I really thought it was great that I had this lovely lawn. Well, what happened is gophers moved in, and the gophers started tearing up the lawn, and I tried exterminating them, and I tried, you know, repelling them, and I spent, you know, probably at least $1,000, and nothing worked, and they're tearing up my lawn. And so what happened at one point was at one night, I remember I had this, it was an ego attack. It was undoubtedly, even though it was just gophers, it was a full-fledged ego attack. And, you know, the ego was telling me things like, someday I was going to want to sell my house and nobody would buy it because of the gophers in the yard. And I don't remember what else, because it went on all night long. But you know what I mean? Like, it was taking this as far as it could go, right? And I felt full of fear, just like you do with any ego attack. I felt full of fear, and there's nothing I could do to get rid of the gophers, and my life was going to be ruined because of these gophers. And so, but what I did is I realized, because it got so loud, I realized this is an ego attack. And I knew why the ego attack was coming. I had just spent 3 months really worrying about the gophers at a lower level, right? And that worry had now built up to this, fear. And so I understood that I had done this to myself, and I understood that this now needed to be healed. And so I spent the night just laying there in bed, and you know, all these thoughts are going through the mind. But as these thoughts are going through the mind, what I'm realizing is I need to let go of this. And I just stayed with, I need to let go of thinking about the gophers. I need to let go of thinking about the gophers. So it's all going. It's like running. It's like a tape I had wound up. Or like another good example. Remember those toys we used to wind up and they go, you know, they run around? Well, I had wound it up through my months of worrying about them, right? I had made this. And now I understood what I had made because it got so big. I could see exactly what I had done. But now the only thing to do was to let that little wind-up toy run out. And so I'm not doing anything else about the gophers. From now on, I'm not doing anything else about the gophers. And even though this was all going on, I just kept reminding myself of that. And the next morning when I woke up, I had this realization that I had been fighting a war with the gophers. And I thought, you know what? It's time to forgive war. How do you forgive war? You let your enemy move on in. You quit asking them to leave. Gophers have been living in my yard ever since, and I'm happy. You know? It's not, the gophers never went away, but I'm happy. It just doesn't matter. You know what? I live in Pueblo West. What can I say? I have gophers. You know, so it was just a matter of deciding not to be a part of that anymore. And that's where the peace came from. And sometimes when you decide not to be a part of something anymore, it actually disappears from your life. I've had that happen many times. Sometimes it stays in your life, like the gophers did, but guess what? You're fine. I don't look out at my, used to, I would get up every morning and I would go look at my backyard to see if there was a new gopher mound. Now I can't tell you. I mean, sure, there's, I'm sure there, you know, some mornings there are, some mornings there aren't, but I'm not checking every morning anymore, you know? It doesn't cause me pain anymore.
So they're all over Pueblo West?
Yeah, gophers and prairie dogs. We don't have, I don't have a problem with prairie dogs though, because I have a privacy fence, and the prairie dogs won't go inside the privacy fence because, you know, they look for their defense, and inside the privacy fence they can't see good. So they always stay outside. But the gophers live underground, so they don't care about the fence. So they just, they want, and I had a beautiful lawn, which in their mind is food. Right? Food. So they just come in. And even the times that I had them exterminated, within a few days, a new family would just move in. You know, there's just nothing I could, you know.
They heard about the vacancy.
Yeah, they heard about the vacancy. Exactly. So I just had to give up fighting that war. And now we actually call the backyard, we call it fondly, our zoo. Right? So if you guys want to pay admission and come see my gophers, please let me know. So.
Huh? I'm going to be looking for them.
Oh, yeah, I'll show you. Well, you can't actually see them because they stay underground, but I can show you their mounds. And then I'll take you out behind the privacy fence and show you the prairie dogs because they're very cute.
They kiss each other.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're adorable.
Jamie likes them too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we'll, you know, this is a little earlier than we tend to stop, but I think we'll go ahead and stop anyway. I don't see any sense in starting a whole new chapter, and the next chapter is kind of long. So, so I guess your assignment, we always do assignments for the week. We figure reading it and walking away and forgetting about it's no good. So we don't get grades or anything, but the assignments are supposed to be just practice. So your assignment then, you could use guilt if you see guilt come up because that was the primary topic. However, you could also use annoyance. You could use anger. You could use fear. If you see anything coming up with a story around it, try to practice the rest, accept, and trust instead of throwing yourself into that story. Whether it's a guilt story about you or someone else, a fear story about something in your life, being annoyed with someone who's, you know, in your presence, try to practice rest, accept, and trust. Don't repress the story. Just step back from it. Learn that stepping back in your mind process. Because that's where the healing comes from. And I'll go ahead and stop the recorder.